Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There are certain memories that stay with you no matter how much time has passed. Moments that seem ordinary at first, but when revisited, reveal cracks in the reality we take for granted. Tonight, we delve into one such memory. An innocent evening turned unsettling, where the veil between the seen and unseen may have been lifted. A family gathering with friends, a cherry wood table at the center of a dimly lit room. What starts as a playful ritual quickly spirals into something no one can explain. Hands pressed lightly on wood, unanswered questions in the air, and a growing sense that they were no longer alone. What happened that night? Was it the power of suggestion, an elaborate trick, or something far more unexplainable? What's clear is that those who witnessed it were changed forever. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I've spent years trying to convince myself that what happened that night was nothing more than a trick, an elaborate ruse by my father, meant to entertain the neighbors. But the harder I try to rationalize it, the more vivid the memories become, almost as if they're refusing to be forgotten. So here I am sharing my story, hoping you can help me make sense of it. I was 7 years old at the time. We lived in a large old house, a sprawling 5-bedroom home surrounded by 40 acres of fields and woods. My father had always been a storyteller, the kind who could make even the most mundane events seem fascinating. But his favorite stories were about the unexplained, ghosts, premonitions, strange coincidences, you name it. He believed it. And he had a way of drawing people into his world, making them want to believe too. One evening, my father decided to invite the neighbors over for a night of table tipping. He explained it as a harmless game, a sort of seance light where the table would supposedly respond to questions by rocking back and forth. Most people laughed it off as a parlor trick, but they came anyway, curiosity getting the better of them. I remember standing in the dining room as the adults cleared the space. The table, a heavy cherry wood piece that seated 12, was moved to the center of the room. The chairs were lined up against the walls, creating a sort of impromptu stage. My father placed his hands lightly on one end of the table and motioned for me to do the same at the opposite end. "Don't push or pull," he told me. "Just rest your hands and keep your mind clear. If there's someone here with us, they'll make themselves known." At first, nothing happened. The room was quiet except for the occasional murmur from the neighbors, their voices a mix of skepticism and nervous laughter. I could feel the weight of the table beneath my palms, solid and unmoving. I glanced at my father, who had his eyes closed, murmuring under his breath. Then I felt it, a faint, almost imperceptible shift. The table moved, not much, just enough to make me think I might have imagined it. But then it happened again, a little stronger this time. The neighbors grew quiet. My father opened his eyes and smiled. "There it is," he said softly. "They're here." The table began to rock gently, as though someone were pressing down on one side and then the other. My heart raced. I knew I wasn't doing it. I wasn't strong enough to move something so heavy. And my father's hands, I could see clearly, were barely touching the surface. He started asking questions, simple ones at first. "Is there someone here with us?" Two sharp rocks in response, "Yes." "Are you a friend?" One slow rock, "No." The neighbors shifted uneasily in their chairs. Some of them laughed nervously, but I could see the tension in their faces. My father seemed unfazed, his voice calm and steady as he continued the questions. The table's movements grew more pronounced, lifting slightly on one side before slamming back down. The air in the room felt heavier, colder, as though all the warmth had been drained away. One of the neighbors whispered something about the windows being open, but I knew they weren't. Then my father asked the question that changed everything. "If you're truly here, can you show us something extraordinary? Can you balance the table on one leg and spin it?" The room fell silent. For a moment, nothing happened. I thought maybe we'd pushed whatever force was there too far. but then the table rocked violently, lifting onto two legs and holding there. My father had to move to the side to keep his hands on it, and I struggled to do the same. It stayed like that for what felt like an eternity, but was probably only a few seconds. Then slowly, it tipped onto one leg. The neighbors gasped. One woman screamed. I had to jog to keep up as the table began to turn, spinning faster and faster on that single leg. My father's hands stayed steady, his expression calm, as though he'd seen this 100 times before. I, on the other hand, was terrified. The table spun faster, the force so strong I felt it pull away from my hands. I let go and stumbled back, watching in disbelief as the table continued to spin on its own. And then, as suddenly as it started, it stopped. It came crashing down onto all four legs with a deafening thud. The room was silent. No one spoke. My father stepped back, his hands in the air, as if to show he'd done nothing. But the look in his eyes told me he was as shaken as I was. That was the last time I ever took part in one of my father's games. In the days that followed, the air in the house felt different. Heavier somehow, like a storm that hadn't yet arrived. My father didn't mention the table tipping again, and the neighbors didn't bring it up when we saw them, but I knew they were talking about it. At school, the other kids whispered about what had happened. They said our house was haunted. They said my father had summoned something we couldn't get rid of. And they said I'd helped him do it. At first, I brushed it off as teasing, but then I started noticing things. Small things at first. The dining room chairs would be slightly out of place in the morning, though we always left them pushed against the wall. The heavy curtains, which we rarely moved, would be drawn back just a little as though someone had been peeking outside. Then there were the sounds, faint footsteps in the hallway at night, doors creaking open on their own, and the whispers, soft and indistinct, like someone speaking just out of earshot. I told my father about it once, but he just smiled and said, "Your imagination is running wild." That was his way. Always calm, always in control. But I could see it in his eyes. He was hearing and seeing things too. One night I woke up to a loud crash. I bolted upright in bed, my heart pounding. For a moment I thought it was a dream, but then I heard it again. A heavy thud. Like furniture being moved. I crept out of bed and down the hallway, every shadow seeming to move as I passed. The sound was coming from the dining room, the table. When I reached the doorway, I froze. The table was moving, not rocking this time, but sliding across the floor as though being dragged by invisible hands. It stopped abruptly, one corner lifting slightly off the ground, then slamming back down. I wanted to scream, but no sound came out. And then I saw it, a shadow on the far wall. It wasn't mine, and it wasn't cast by anything in the room. It was tall, impossibly thin, with long arms that seemed to stretch toward the table. I ran back to my room and hid under the covers, trembling until the first light of dawn. After that, the activity escalated. The sounds grew louder, the whispers clearer. One night I heard my name being called, not in my father's voice, but in a voice I didn't recognize. The final straw came a few weeks later. It was late, and I was in bed trying to fall asleep when I heard a soft tapping at my window. Our house was on a hill, and my room was on the second floor. There was no way anyone could reach the window without a ladder. I tried to ignore it, pulling the covers over my head, but the tapping grew louder, more insistent. And then I heard it. 3 words. Whispered so faintly I almost didn't catch them. "Let me in." The next morning I told my father everything. He listened quietly, his face unreadable. When I finished, he nodded and said, "It's time." I didn't know what he meant until he pulled the cherry wood table out of the dining room and into the barn. He locked the doors and told me to stay out, no matter what I heard. That night I heard him in there shouting in a language I didn't recognize. There were crashes, like something being thrown against the walls, and a sound I can only describe as growling. When he finally emerged, he looked exhausted but relieved. "It's done," he said. We never spoke about it again. The table stayed in the barn, covered with an old sheet, and life gradually returned to normal. But sometimes, late at night, I'd look out my window and swear I saw shadows moving in the barn, just beyond the faint glow of the porch light. Years later, after my father passed, I went back to the house to sort through his belongings. The barn was still there, the table untouched. I couldn't bring myself to go near it. I don't know what my father did that night or what he believed was haunting us. All I know is that I've never been able to forget. Sincerely, Sean, stories like this linger in the mind, don't they? They tread the line between what we know to be real and what we fear might be possible. A father's curiosity leads to an innocent game, yet it opens a door to something far beyond his control. The cherrywood table, a symbol of family and gathering, becomes the focal point for something uninvited, something unseen, but undeniably felt. From a psychological perspective, it's easy to wonder, could this have been a case of mass suggestion? The neighbors, the family, even the protagonist, all swept up in the energy of the moment, their minds filling in the gaps where logic left off. Stress, fear, and the power of belief can shape perceptions in ways science is still trying to fully understand. But what about the unexplainable? The shadow on the wall, the tapping at the window, the whispered voice saying, "Let me in." These are details that defy rational explanation. Could it be that what this family experienced was genuine? A brush with the supernatural? Some might say that certain places and certain objects carry an energy we can't yet measure. The protagonist's father seemed to understand that. His decision to move the table to perform a ritual of sorts in the barn suggests he believed in the presence of something more. Was it an act of protection, an apology, or a final confrontation? We may never know, but here's the thought I can't shake. The table still exists, covered in dust, hidden away. It waits. For what, I wonder? Perhaps for someone brave or foolish enough to place their hands on its surface once again. Thank you for listening, and remember, the unexplained doesn't always need an explanation. Sometimes it just is.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.